15-year-old girl in Seattle, Washington needed it. Hugo Teljax needed it. A 31-year-old man living in Queens, New York. Angel Arce Torres in Hartford, Connecticut. A 78-year-old man living there needed it. What they needed was what we're talking about tonight. What they needed was kindness. Tonight we're focusing on Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and following, especially verse 22, and focusing on the fruit of kindness. If you're visiting with us, we have been doing a series on the fruit of faith, the fruit of the Spirit. And we've been looking at each of the fruit hanging there on that vine and trying to kind of hold them up like you would a diamond to the light and see the beauty of each of the words and what it is maybe Paul is saying to us through each of those words. So we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Tonight as we look at kindness, we're also going to talk a little bit about goodness. Because really it's hard not to look at these two together. They are so closely related and they overlap so much. So our primary focus is on kindness, but we're going to need at least to take a moment and see what is the connection and is there a difference between kindness and goodness. The biblical bullseye for tonight is very simple. It is kindness helps. Kindness helps. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to take a few moments and kind of look at what the word means, struggle with that, see what some different folks say, and then see if we can piece it together in a definition that maybe we can work with. And then I want us to see it in the New Testament. So with that in mind, let's just talk about, you know, what is kindness? There are a lot of folks out there in the world today that study what words, as they were used in the first century by folks like Paul or Jesus or others, they study what those words mean. So let's just listen to some of those for a moment, because we'll find that each one of them tells us something a little bit different about the word kindness. For example, if you were to pick up a lexicon like Thayer's lexicon, you'll notice that it can be translated as goodness. Remember, that's the next word. That's one of the reasons that I said, even though they're two different words, that often the word that Paul used here is translated both as kindness and as goodness. It sometimes is translated as gentleness. In fact, you may have a Bible that has the word gentleness there instead of the word kindness. You can notice down there in the UBS handbook, it talks about that it is a word that describes a willingness to help. So we think about goodness, we think about kindness, we think about gentleness, we think about the idea of helping somebody else. If you look over on the next screen, it'll talk about that which is useful or benevolent. It's the idea of being useful to somebody or helping somebody in a time of need. You can see that it refers to that which helps people or that which proves to be good for people. Now, as we think about this word, let me give you a couple examples. There's a root word that's here that is the word they used for a wine when it was old and how the wine would mellow with age. Do you remember when Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light"? When he said, "My yoke is easy," he used the root word of the word we're talking about. So when you're talking about a wine that had mellowed, or when you're talking about a yoke that was easy, it used the root word that is behind our word kindness. And with that in mind, I found this statement by Barnes useful. His language is a little antiquated, but I thought he pointed out some important things that kind of tie some of the others together. It's an attitude that is opposed to harshness. It is an attitude that is opposed to just being ill at life. It is an attitude that is calm. It is an attitude that is polite. an attitude that is caring. In fact, he refers here to a mildness of temper. We can go on and see that Crouch has said that kindness is an expression of love. And listen to what he says. It's an outward evidence of an affectionate, loving, sympathetic, forbearing, and generous nature. In other words, he says, kindness is a natural expression of love. That's consistent with what we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, where it says, love is kind. So we think about kindness, we need to talk a little bit about goodness. I want you to notice what the UBS handbook says. It says, kindness and goodness both refer to favorable disposition towards one's neighbor. In other words, what it's saying is, both of them describe an attitude in which you want to be good for your neighbor. You want to do something to help them. With goodness probably being general, and kindness probably referring to a more specific desire and action to help one's neighbor. If we were to go on reading, we would find out that the word for goodness, they don't really have examples of it in Greek writing outside of the Bible. It's a Bible word. Really, the only examples that I know of to this point that we have are in the Bible when this word is used. And listen to what one author says. It's hard to define, just as hard to define in English as it is in Greek, or Greek as it is in English. But it says, however, though it is related to kindness, it differs from it in being a more active term, and it has with it the idea of helping another in spite of the fact they may not deserve it or may not be worthy of it. The primary idea seems to be a generosity that springs from kindness. Okay, I don't want to bore you with all of that stuff. I just want you to see these different folks trying to wrestle with what is this thing? What does this word mean? Because that's critical. I don't know what I'm supposed to do till I figure out what the thing means. So, Paul, what are you saying when you say to be kind? As I understand it, it refers to a mild and polite character or nature that desires to be useful to and to help others. A mild and polite nature that desires to be useful to and polite to others. I want you to think back to our biblical bullseye, because I really want us to see in that biblical bullseye the definition of the word, the purpose of the word, what it's all about. Kindness helps. Simply put, what is kindness? It's a desire to help people. So as we think about that, I want us to look at God. I hope you've noticed as we've gone through this journey through the fruit of faith and the fruit of the Spirit, we tried in each lesson to connect it to God, because consistently in the New Testament, every single term Paul uses there in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the New Testament uses to describe God. God is in each case the supreme example of each piece of fruit. With that in mind, let's go to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 22, it says, behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity. But to you, God's kindness. If you continue in His kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. What Paul's trying to do there is remind us that the nature of God is not one-dimensional. And we can fall into a trap of always wanting to talk about the love of God, or we can fall into a trap of always wanting to talk about the justice of God, and they are both a part of who He is. We don't have a complete picture of God until we have both together. And so what he says, God is a God of severity, God is a God of justice, God is a God who must punish sin, but He's also a God of kindness. He is a God who seeks to help us. A God who does not want to leave us in despair and helplessness. He doesn't want to leave us in our sin. And so what he's saying there is that we have to make a choice. And he talks about Israel and the choice that she made, and likewise the choice that we made. And he has this idea of being grafted into the tree and being cut off from the tree. And he says even those who've been cut off from the tree can be grafted back in again. The key is to remain in God's helpfulness, to accept God's helpfulness, to respond to God's helpfulness or kindness. And we'll talk a little more about that in just a few moments. Also, from the book of Romans. But what Paul is saying is our God is a God of kindness. Our God is a God who, even though He is a God of justice and must punish sin, He is also a God who seeks to be mild and gentle with us. He doesn't want us to be punished. He doesn't want us to be lost. He is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. If we will not repent, His nature of justice must act. But He wants to help us. That is His innate desire. If you look over in Titus, in Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, it helps us to see when we, in the clearest way, experienced the kindness of God. Look what it says in verse 4. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Now I believe there at the end He's talking about baptism as the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. But He says that has power not based on any deeds of righteousness which we have done, but because of the mercy and love of God. And it became possible for us to have that mercy when the kindness of God appeared. Titus is also going to talk about the appearing of the grace of God. God's grace and God's kindness appeared in Christ Jesus. So God is a God who seeks to help, and the help became available to us when Christ came, when Christ appeared upon the earth. So He is a God of help by nature, and because His nature is to help and to be kind, He then acted. He acted in human history by parting the heavens and sent forth His Son to come to this earth to live like a poor, humble human being and to die a criminal's death on a cross to save us from our sins. You see, kindness is not just something you feel. Kindness is something you do. So His nature is kindness, and so He acted. And that kindness appeared in the form of Jesus Christ. And when we accept Christ, when we respond in faith and are baptized into Christ, then we personally experience that kindness and we enter into that kindness as Romans chapter 11 alluded to. But I also want you to notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. That God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God did not just show kindness through Christ, but His mission is to go on showing His kindness to His people and for the world through His people. In other words, I just want us to see that if we want to understand what the word means, if we really want to understand kindness, the way to do it is not to pull out a lexicon. It's not to pull out some word study book, though there might be some help from doing what we did earlier. But the best way to understand what the word means is to look at our God. And look how He's treated us, and look at how He's responded to us in Christ Jesus. Look at His mission. His mission is to help a people who did not deserve help. We deserved His wrath, as Ephesians 2 talked about. Instead, we got mildness, kindness, politeness. We got help. But I also want us to think, not just about His nature, but how do you respond to that nature? Okay, what is the appropriate thing then to do? I want you to look at me at Romans, with me, at Romans chapter 2. And as we look there, I want you to notice that Paul is using the kindness of God as a motivation. He says, "Do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds." That's consistent with what he said in chapter 11 when he talked about the kindness of God and the severity of God. He is saying, in essence, in Romans 11 and in Romans chapter 2, that if I refuse to respond in repentance to the kindness of God, I'm storing up wrath, severity for the day of judgment. But it's like Paul is incredulous. He just can't believe it. He said, how can we take so lightly the kindness of God? He says specifically, the kindness of God leads you to repentance. And he finishes by talking about obeying the truth. In other words, when I come to understand God's nature of kindness, when I come to understand how He has acted to help me through Christ Jesus, and that His mission is to show His kindness in and to His church, the response ought to be repentance, the response ought to be faith, the response ought to be obedience. And Paul was shocked to think that there were those who would not so respond. But the response should not only be believing in Christ and accepting Christ, but the response ought to be also then becoming like Him. In other words, not only accept His kindness, but then live out His kindness. Look with me at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." What he's saying in Colossians chapter 3 is the same thing he's saying in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And I want you to do something with me. If I get John, I want you to put Colossians up for just a moment, and I want you to look at the terms that are there. Just kind of get a bird's eye, I guess a mind's eye picture of some of those words. You see them? Now let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Do you notice anything about the two lists? Do you notice that a lot of the same words keep showing up together? They go together as a unit. And we talked about that in our very first lesson. He doesn't call these the fruits of the Spirit, as if they're really a whole bunch of different types of fruit. He calls them singular, the fruit of the Spirit. That they make up one bunch. They go together. They should never be alone. In other words, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, they always should go together. And they should always be in the life of someone who has experienced the kindness of God. He has loved us. He has helped us. He's been kind to us. And the appropriate response is repentance and faith and obedience and then embodiment. I should do the same thing. I should treat other people the same way. Our biblical bullseye is simple. Kindness helps. Kindness doesn't stand by and wait for someone else to act. So kindness doesn't say, oh, that's terrible that that's happened in that person's life. Kindness acts to do something about it. Kindness is a good Samaritan traveling down a dangerous road who sees a beaten traveler along the way, and unlike the priest and the Levite who you would think would stop, who you think would embody the Spirit of God, unlike those men who walked on by, it's that good Samaritan who stops to heal the wounds and give the traveler a place to stay and leave some extra money behind with the innkeeper for his ongoing care. That is kindness. Kindness helps. Kindness is also a disciple, as described in Matthew chapter 25. As we have that picture of the judgment, he talks about those who give clothing to those who are without, who give food to those who are hungry, who give water to the one who is thirsty, who visits the one who is sick and in prison. That's what kindness is. Kindness helps. When it sees one without clothing, it responds to help. When it sees one hungry, when it sees one in prison, it does something about it. It's not just moved about what the other person's condition is. It is a person who takes action to alleviate that condition. That's kindness. Kindness helps. Kindness is a Savior that looks down from heaven on a lost humanity that is drowning in sin. It is a Savior that gives up the presence of God. Golden streets, perfect existence. Gives up a world where there is no sorrow, no pain, and no tears. To come to a world that would mock Him, beat Him, spit upon Him, and steal away His life. That is what kindness looks like. It looks like a man on a cross, because kindness helps. But kindness is not only an attitude that helps others. Kindness is an attitude that could help our world. I want you to imagine with me, if we put kindness in our homes, and we had moms and dads, instead of looking for divorce lawyers, lived to help each other. Think about if we put kindness in our congregations. Instead of all having the bickering and the fighting and the competition that goes on and the writing about each other in bulletin articles, instead we're working together to help each other and putting the kingdom of God above our individual congregations and saying, how can we help? Think about if we put kindness in our communities. Think of the bickering and fighting. Think of the racism. Think of the crime, the murder, the greed, the theft that would disappear if instead of focusing on taking and getting, we made our mission to be kind, to help our neighbor, whether it's the person next door who may look just like us, or whether it's the person across town who may look differently. Think about, imagine what a different world it could be if we had kindness. And what if we put kindness in our countries? Any given day you can pick up the newspaper and read about war across the landscape. You can read about someone who died because someone blew something up, because somebody pulled a trigger, or someone unsheathed a knife. What if instead we woke up every morning with a desire to better the life of every person we passed and sought to help every life we touched? Think about what a different world it would be. I believe kindness could help. It could have helped a 15-year-old girl in Seattle who was beaten by about 10 kids at a bus platform. She had run into these kids at a restaurant, and they'd given her a hard time, saying basically she had too much money and too many things. And so when she gets to the bus terminal, the surveillance camera shows her looking back. And she went up and told the security guards, thinking they would help her, and hear her own words. She said, "I went to the security and told them that these kids were trying to jump me. I know that I'm about to get jumped, and I'm hanging around the guards to try and get protection. I thought the security guards would defend me. Instead, they just stood by as she was beaten." That 15-year-old little girl could have used some kindness. I think about Hugo, the man that you may have heard about. He was a homeless man who went to the aid of a woman who was attacked in the early morning hours in Queens, New York. He was stabbed for his trouble. The woman ran away. The would-be attacker ran away. And in the next hour plus, approximately 25 people, according to surveillance video, walked by Hugo. And nobody stopped. And there on that street, because nobody stopped, he bled to death. Hugo could have used kindness. Or what about Angel Arce? The 78-year-old man who was just trying to cross the street in Hartford, Connecticut. He stepped out. He didn't see a vehicle coming. The vehicle struck him, flipped him up over the hood and the top of the vehicle, and left him lying motionless in the street. 9 cars drove by. A truck slowed down for a moment as if looking out the window and then kept on going. People along the side of the street walked up, kind of looked out, but nobody would go out. Nobody would hold up traffic. Nobody made a phone call. Nobody did anything. While a 70-year-old man lay in the middle of the street. And finally, it was only because a police officer happened to be driving down the street, he finally got help. Angel could have used some kindness. There's a world full of people who need somebody to stop, somebody to say something, somebody to care. There are hurting people in our businesses, in our neighborhoods, in our families, and in our schools. And they just need somebody who will just be kind. They don't need millions of dollars. They don't need mansions. They don't care. They just want somebody who will care. So my question for us tonight is, first of all, will we respond to God's help? Will we accept His help? Will we respond in repentance and faith and put on Christ in baptism? And who are we going to help? Who are we going to show the Spirit of Christ to? Who are we going to pick up from the middle of the street? If we can help you to know the kindness of God, please come as we stand and sing.